Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. I will post a link to that blog below this interview. Now, Mark, I want to focus on the US dollar. This whole week, the whole last few weeks, I think everyone has gotten distracted of these short squeezes, the continued strength in the US markets after a little bit of weakness. But the US dollar, almost under the radar, has been in a pretty solid uptrend for almost all of this year. I know it's only about a month long, but the dollar has rebounded from a low of just above 89 the whole way over to above 91. Today, we're getting a little bit of a pullback. One could argue it's a key reversal day here for the dollar, but this move higher in the dollar, while it is still relatively low compared to where the dollar index was most of all of last year, for that matter, what are some of the key features that you are viewing in this dollar uptrend? Let's start there, please.
Yeah, sure. No, so thanks. I'm fascinated with this dollar index because I think you're right. You know, everybody became really dollar negative, and I've been a dollar bear, but I've been anticipating this dollar correction since basically that week between Christmas and New Year's. I didn't know exactly how it was going to be formed, but it has lasted a month. And I do think you're right that leg up in the dollar index is over. And I think what we have to think about for this next several days, at least, is that it is going to be a pullback. And the question really is that magnitude of the pullback. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, I think, is this a trend reversal or is this just a correction, consolidation, like oftentimes happens, you know, the markets don't move in a straight line. And so here's a couple of ideas for you. One is because the dollar has been literally trending higher, you could draw a trend line. That trend line comes in today, as we speak, around 90.40. And as you know, the dollar index is pulling back and it's currently trading about 91.05. And so the first thing would be, that trend line off of those lows comes in around 90.40 today, and so it's a rising trend line, right? Because it's off the lows, and by the end of next week, it's around 90.80 or so. So that's one thing. Wait for that trend line to be tested, and you buy it as it approaches it, or you're prepared to sell it if it breaks that trend line. Now, the other thing that I think is happening, though, is think about it in a bigger perspective. The dollar index really took its last big leg down beginning with our election in early November. And the dollar index fell from around 94.30 to that low you mentioned earlier this year, around 89.20. And so I had thought that move was over, and so we should look for that move to be retraced. And why should it be retraced? The fundamental narrative around it is that essentially, because the U.S. is going to be stepping on the fiscal accelerator like it did at the end of last year with $900 billion, and it's going to do so again shortly, now that this is going to give the U.S. economy a boost, of course, more fuel. So the growth differentials move in the U.S.'s favor, and as growth differentials move in the U.S. favor, so do interest rate differentials, inflation differentials. And so this idea then is that the dollar is going to correct higher, and all we're seeing is this modest pullback now. And the reason that the dollar is going to correct higher still is that you've got this growth differentials favoring it. So I've been looking at this head and shoulders bottom pattern in the dollar index, with that head being that low we talked about earlier this year. And I sort of project that head and shoulders bottom pattern to project to about 92.75. And so I think, well, what's that 92.75? Well, that 92.75 is, I think, by the time we get there, it'll probably come close to the 200-day moving average, which right now is around 93.85. So I'm looking, it's going to take us a little bit of time, a couple of weeks. I think that we should still be playing the dollar index on the long side, though realizing that it's only going to last, I anticipate it'll last another month or so. And that is, as the growth differentials get sort of baked in the cake, we'll be looking for another set of developments. And also, I tell you, we often think about these way interest rates and currencies. A lot of people, we naturally think about things in a linear fashion. But I wonder if it's not a little bit cyclical here. So that something like this, that in the short run, the fiscal stimulus the U.S. gives, like gooses the economy, accelerates it, and as a consequence of that, growth differentials, the U.S. trade deficit is going to worsen. And so we're back to the underlying big picture bearish aspect of the dollar, and that is the brewing twin deficit problem. But I think that we have this, where we are then within this big dollar downtrend that I think is going to take several years to play out. We have had the dollar bounce, and we have a little pullback going on in the dollar, and I think that's the that's still the dollar's bounce isn't quite over yet. Does that make sense? Corrections, yes. Of corrections, yeah. Difficult.
That, I think, makes sense. I'm going to try to summarize it here for you, Mark. So essentially, maybe another month of dollar strength, let's call it, moving up to that 92.75 level, closing in on, let's just call it 93 broadly. But overall, that doesn't break the longer-term downtrend of the dollar. I do want a little bit more clarity, though, on the key drivers behind these dollar moves. Today, we had jobs data released, and that was weaker than expected. That's one of the arguments saying that the dollar is moving down today. It really just goes with all the economic data that I think one can argue is not really having a major impact on these markets. It's more about political drivers, government stimulus, maybe even some of the vaccine trends. In your eyes, what are the key drivers that we can pay attention to here, more so than just one day volatility type of moves?
Yeah, no, you're right. I find that these days, market positioning, especially in the short term moves, like knowing that, you know, for the as of this morning, that is a few hours before the U.S. job data came out, the euro was at its lowest level in 2 months. Or in another way, that the dollar index was at its best level since the election. And that tells me that the market was really buying, obviously, right? Price is moving up, people are buying it. And so it just tells me that the market's vulnerable, that what's dominating things are short-term momentum traders, trend followers. And I think that leaves the market vulnerable when you do get this like unexpected news where people have to be washed out. And now we have to really understand it, how serious of a washout is it. I'd say it's still pretty modest, even if it continues for a little bit longer.
Okay. What's the carryover impacts then? You already mentioned the impacts on yields. What about the impacts on the underlying U.S. equity markets? Let's start there.
Wow. Huh? You know, we didn't speak last week, but the stock market had pulled back and it looked pretty ugly. I kind of was preparing my own personal account for a deeper pullback. I thought, okay, we've had this like the honeymoon period, the January effect, fine. I need to be careful here. And of course, you tighten up your stops and you adjust and you lighten up your positions and reduce your leverage, the stock market comes right back, making new highs. I think it's going to be hard to keep this thing down. I mean, we've got this combination. The Federal Reserve tells us that we're going to keep interest rates low, possibly 2023, 2024. And the government is not just spending this, whatever they're going to get out of this, this new stimulus measure, but in a few weeks, we're expecting an infrastructure bill to be announced. So the U.S. has a lot of fiscal stimulus spending coming into the pipeline. And where's this going to go? And I think that my understanding, and I try to write this in my book about the political economy of tomorrow, that we don't want this, where's all this like money going to go? We don't want it to go into a couple of things. Right? We don't want to be building redundant factories. That drives down the price of goods, creates deflation, creates the problem further. So it's pushing it into financial assets, I think, is sort of the liberal, meaning liberty, the liberal answer. And I think that it's sort of like maybe like that the Dutch kid with the finger in the broken dam or the broken dike that he once you put your finger there, it pops out someplace else. And so I think that equity prices are the path of least resistance for this surplus liquidity being generated by fiscal policy, by monetary policy. And also, at the end of the day, we've had some very strong earnings data from the U.S. corporates. And, you know, U.S. banks last year put a lot of money aside for loan loss reserves. They put so much money aside and things haven't been quite as bad as they thought, they can claw some of that money back. And that counts as profits for this year.
So does that mean, and in all fairness, this is nothing new, but the money that's being created, it's going to continue to support these markets then?
Yeah, I don't see where else it's going to go. I mean, it goes to our markets. It's going to global markets.
Well, that's the thing, right? It just keeps on landing in the markets. What about the filter down into some of the other sectors? Is it going to be a continuous rotation? Do you see maybe some more money going into some of these more safe assets rather than just simply into risk on assets?
I see risk assets still like people loving risk assets. In fact, in Europe, it is an interesting risk asset, is Italian bonds. The government has collapsed. They don't have a government in place, but they think that the former central bank governor, who later became the head of the European Central Bank, could become the next prime minister. The 10-year yield in Italy today fell to new record lows, and the premium that investors demand over Germany fell below 100 basis points, its lowest level in 5 years. I just cite that as an example about it. There's still this hunger, this willingness to take on risk assets. I think that we think of them as risk assets because when you do the economic calculus, they seem riskier. But I think that's because in the back of a lot of our minds, we have a fair value model for things. What should be the fair value? But that is based on like economic assumptions and views rather than a liquidity-based model. And I think that we need to really think about how liquidity broadly drives these asset prices, which means that our fundamental model might be outdated or just not very helpful.
What about the argument, too, is that the new savings accounts for individuals, if they do have savings, it isn't at the bank, it's in the markets. So more money that's created ends up in the markets, and that really throws the whole economic narrative on its head because of how people view these markets now.
Yeah, I, there's something to what you say, I think, is this which is really reminds me a bit of the what I had hoped we had learned in 08 and 09, and that's like after Hyman Minsky, the Minsky moment. And the argument of Minsky moment is really essentially this, is that you have a long period of financial stability, rising prices. And the mere fact of a sustained period like that can cause its opposite. Because if you're in stocks can only go up. So instead of putting my money in my savings account, I put it in the stock market. It works. You're making a lot of money. It keeps making you do that more and more until the day it doesn't work. And that's what things happen. That's the Minsky moment, that the financial stability causes in the financial sector leverage, extended positions, until like the house of cards falls. And so I think that that's the, of course, in the back of a lot of our minds, those of us who have the scar tissue from 08 and 09 and from 87 and from 2000, the tech bubble, I think that these are all like our concerns, but it's hard to, what do you do in the meantime? Sitting in cash, is a lot of people I don't think have the patience, the discipline to just keep their money getting very little yield while they see the stock market racing higher.
Yeah, and quite frankly, that sitting in cash trade was one of the worst trades of the year last year. So obviously more of these uptrends just draw more investors in. Mark, how does that equate to how you're managing your portfolio and even what you guys are telling your clients?
Well, for our clients, our corporate clients, and we're trying to just help them navigate the FX market directly. But I think the point that in all of our markets is that while we like low, while decision makers like low volatility, that it could be very seducing because and sort of lulls us to sleep. That low volatility we probably do it backwards. When volatility gets high, we get concerned. But when volatility is high, the next move is going to be lower. But when volatility is low, it's like we're waiting for that shoe to drop. So I think that these markets, I think the same general thing. I mean, we've got that pendulum inside us all, inside our systems, between fear and greed. We just have to be especially disciplined about that and make sure we know what's driving us.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up here. Some interesting comments, and I do appreciate the look at the U.S. dollar, because currencies, they have been kind of under the radar, but the dollar has been bouncing, but it still has a long way to go to get back into more of a bullish level. So I guess we'll see where that all takes us. But right now, boy, oh boy, these markets, money just continues to flow into the U.S. equity markets. Mark, great chatting with you, buddy. Again, I will post a link to your blog, Mark2Market, below this interview. And I'll chat with you next week. So have a great weekend.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.